And joining us now from CBS Sports and also NFL Network is our great, great friend, Solomon Wilcots. Solomon, you get so many Browns assignments. You will be on the call once again when the Browns face the Steelers Sunday. So, again, knowing this team inside out as you do, I want to start with your impressions of what you saw of the Browns coming off that overtime loss at Dallas.
For one, I was impressed by the way the team went on the road in Dallas. As you well know, for a young team like the Cleveland Browns to go into Dallas, into that Taj Mahal, palace.
Yeah.
You know, young players playing in that place. I mean, most of them, they don't come out fast. They don't start fast as well as they did last week in the Cleveland Browns because they're too busy gazing up and looking at that Jumbotron.
Oh.
But I was impressed by the way the young team played. And now, as you clearly can see, there are a couple of things that are happening. Learning how to finish games off, because there's been a trend here now with five of their eight losses coming by 7 points or less and not being able to finish off plays. And they're a young team. And we know about the young rookies who are factoring, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. There is this thing called a rookie wall. You know, I talked to Coach Cowher about it. He talked about Ben Roethlisberger when Ben's rookie year, when he played all those games, and by the end of the year was just pressing. And people can try to dismiss it, Vic, but it's real, because these kids will be just now finishing up their college career. They'd be just going into a bowl game or the bowl championship series. For the most part, they would not have played four preseason games. They would not have played this many games. So I think that's a factor here, and so now they've got to find a way to finish it and got to find a way to refresh many of the rookies who are contributing.
Yeah, and the other part of this is you go through a game like that, like you said, they don't get overwhelmed by the place. They don't get overwhelmed by the fact that it's the Cowboys, and they handle their business for the most part, but have to go through this excruciating, heartbreaking thing, this loss. And I just wonder, for the psyche of this young team that you've been around quite a bit, Solomon, how do you see them reacting? I saw Trent Richardson, for one, looking like an angry guy afterward and frustrated, but it looked like he was maybe channeling that, I guess, hopefully, to, okay, we're going to do something about this. I'm going to do something about this. I mean, is that a healthy way to look at it going forward?
I think it is. You know, when you're young and you go into play teams like that and you're close, you play well but lose, you know, everyone's patting you on the shoulder, hey, you guys gave it a good shot, good old college try. And it pacifies you maybe for the first few times it happens as a young player. But when you get to the point where you're like, no, that's not good enough, we should have won, nothing else is acceptable, I think as a coach and as an organization, you want to see that and your players, in particular, you want to see it early for rookies. You want to see it show up early. And it's about the time when it shows up. You can tell Trent Richardson, he knows that, you know, about those five of eight losses have come by 7 points or less. He's fed up with that. He doesn't even want to hear that as medicine. And I think that's a good sign.
And the other part of this is you don't see this team going the route of maybe some other clubs in this league. You look at, for instance, the Eagles getting trounced really on a regular basis now, and you wonder how still connected and engaged those players are. As I still, you know, and I'm a big fan of Andy Reid, but I think of the chore that he faces to keep players connected, and when all surrounding him and this team are the calls for him to be fired by fans, by media, et cetera, et cetera. And the pressure is on, of course, the Browns at 2-8, but I still see players wanting to put forth effort, wanting to, you know, to do what they can for Pat Shurmur, and just not necessarily seeing this as they're into the abyss with six games to go and not, you know, not maybe thinking that there's much in the way of a playoff hope there.
Now, this is not a team trying to finish off a schedule. I think we got to understand, Vic, where this team is at in on the growth and development curve. This is not a veteran team. This is why we missed our mark. Let's just get out of this healthy and try it again next year. This is a team that still has a lot to accomplish despite being 2-8. And what I mean by that is a young team that says, if we can take these final six games and learn how to beat some people, if we can take these six games and continue to learn how to win games, how to manage games, how to manage a crisis within the four quarters and overcome it and prevail when it's all said and done, that's something you can live by. I watched the Detroit Lions in the 2010 season go through that, and then I saw them in 2011 win 10 games and go to the playoffs. You look for that in young teams, the way they finish off a year and maybe even off games in a season where all seemingly is lost. That's where young guys tend to grow, and I think that's what they're playing for. They're playing for their own growth, for their own understanding of how good they can be, and I think these next six games are going to tell us that.
Solomon Wilcots from CBS Sports joining us. He will be on the call for Sunday's game for CBS between the Browns and the Steelers. Solly, as we look now at the Steelers coming into this game without Ben Roethlisberger and with their third-string guy, Charlie Batch, who's a 15-year veteran. I mean, just the fact that they're down to him because of Byron Leftwich's injury as well. Does it give you anything in the way of what the Steeler offense could look like? Is that a team just sort of hanging on offensively in this game?
Well, I think they are hanging on. They're going to play small ball. I was checking out this game in the last five meetings. I think the loser scored, anywhere it ended up being like a little more than 10 points or something like that. In other words, these scores have been very low between both teams. But the loser of this game has not scored a heck of a whole lot of points. Yeah. And the winner just barely scored a few just to kind of get out of there with one. It seems like these games are always hard-fought. And I think this is going to be the same way with Charlie Batch at the quarterback position. I expect Todd Haley, offensive coordinator for the Steelers, to run the football a lot. Remember, Antonio Brown is also out of this game. And he, in my mind, is their best receiver, not just as a possession guy, but a yards after catch guy. We all know Mike Wallace can blow the lid off coverage, but, you know, he can hit the home run. But for all the other plays, it seemed like Antonio Brown had become that guy. Now that he could end up being out, I don't think they'll ask Charlie to do a whole heck of a lot. I think they'll ask the offensive line, who's more adept at run blocking than they are at pass protection, to run the ball, play good defense, and let's see if we can get out of there with a win. They know the Cleveland Browns are that divisional opponent who could easily steal one.
Yeah, that's the thing. That I see that too, and I think a lot of other people feel that way with regard to the progress, and especially when you match up the Browns' defense, this defensive line that you saw, how much stronger it got with Ataba Rubin's return and now having Rubin and Phil Taylor in the middle of this defense, what a difference that makes. And I think about the matchup of that line against Charlie Batch, who, again, I know at 37, he can still move probably better than most guys his age. He keeps himself in great shape. There's a reason he's still in this league at this time. But I would think that pass rush, especially if they can contain and force him to hold the ball and get a lot of pressure on him, it could, because he's going to, even if they play small ball, he's going to have to drop back sometimes.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's going to have to drop back. And this Cleveland Brown defense sort of one on the come, as you mentioned, with Rubin and now Taylor back in there, and they're both playing together. The way they were able to get pressure on Tony Romo 1 week ago, you got to imagine that they'll be able to do the same against an offensive line, I think, that struggles to protect the quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Batch is nowhere near as mobile as Tony Romo. So, yeah, you feel like there's something building with this defense. We knew it would happen, though, once Taylor got back. We know they would get better. But, boy, it really came in a big wave last week. Seven sacks on Tony Romo, complete pressure. There are a number of different guys who got pressure. And I think they've got to build on that this week.
Yeah, that is exactly what they have to do. Meanwhile, the Browns offense and Brandon Whedon, two touchdown passes but no interceptions. He did lose the fumble. Trent Richardson still trying to power through with those sore ribs. 95-yard game, a solid game that he had as he tries to fight this through, and he's probably going to fight this the rest of the season, Solomon. But it's the number one defense coming to town, and it's the number one defense against the pass, fourth against the run. Pretty good challenge for the Browns offense.
Oh, really good challenge. There's no doubt about it, and that's where the rubber meets the road. I think if you're Cleveland, don't turn the ball over. The Pittsburgh Steelers don't have a whole lot of turnovers. They only have produced nine takeaways in their 10 games so far. But they're so good at stripping you of your run game. They're so good at getting off the field on third down. The second best defense, one of the best in terms of third down defense. And I think the key for the Cleveland Browns is don't turn the ball over. You can't put that offense on a short field. If you allow the Pittsburgh Steelers defense to take the ball away and give it to Charlie Batts on the plus 30-yard line and kick an easy field goal, that's the kind of small ball we're talking about. They can play that style because their defense is so good and they run the ball so well that you can't go turning it over and helping them out.
And I think the other encouraging thing for the Browns is you look at that offensive line, how well it protected against DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer and the those pass rushers for the Dallas Cowboys, really the strength of that Cowboy team. I thought they did a superb job there. So if that means anything momentum-wise, that could perhaps make a difference for them on Sunday.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think the Cleveland Browns, if you ask me who had the better offensive line in this game, I'd tell you it is no doubt the Cleveland Browns. I love this offensive line. I love the way they're gelling. Love the way they're coming together. Anyone in this league would take Joe Thomas over any left tackle in the entire NFL. Okay, so and so in my mind, they have to do a really good job protecting the quarterback. And they, more than anything, if you can run the ball on Pittsburgh, you know what that does for ego. And to me, this is why the Browns drafted Trent Richardson. It is games like this against the Baltimore Ravens, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, where you give a team the kind of teeth and the confidence and physicality needed to battle those kinds of teams. And even though Pittsburgh comes in with this highly ranked defense, you've got to be able to move the ball on them, because if you can run it on them, if Trent Richardson is successful running on them, it breaks the wheel and the mystique that the Pittsburgh Steelers swagger into Cleveland with. It, all that goes away now because the bully's been hitting the mouth a little bit. And that's, to me, that's what Trent Richardson was brought to Cleveland to do, just that.
Well, Solomon, tremendous work as always on your part, and we look forward to seeing you again on Sunday on the broadcast for CBS Sports. Make sure folks check him out, and also on NFL Network, where you do wonderful work. And I know you're getting a chance to relax a little bit with your family in Atlanta for Thanksgiving. I want to wish all the best to you and yours for that, and look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Wish you happy Thanksgiving as well to all the Cleveland Browns fans and the entire family there. You guys have always been great to me. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Vic.
He is Solomon Wilcots joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.